Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It is 2019, and if you're like me and you love talk radio, but you can't find anything worth listening to on the AM dial, then how about this? How about you tune in to LA Talk Radio? You see, LA Talk Radio is the biggest and the best in LA and is a .com, so we have it all from sports to music to self-help to just about anything, including talk. And right now, we have the new writer's favorite show, The Writer's Block. So sit back, pour some more wine, grab another box of chocolates, and enjoy, because it all starts right now.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Bob Brill, only on LA Talk Radio.
I know this piece of
music. I love this music.
I know that piece of music.
Yes, yeah, Angie.
Oh, Simon. Right. Yes.
I told you that 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
You should know it.
I should. It wasn't the Rolling Stones version.
No. Well, it's another Thursday evening. This is LA Talk Radio. This is The Writer's Block, and I am your host, Jim Christina, in studio with Bob Brill.
Hey.
And Bobby Jean Bell, who is our roving reporter out there in the wilds of New Mexico.
Hello.
And we have, right now, we're going to start this show off with a bang, because we have a treat for y'all, and he is coming up right now.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea. Let's go to press. Item 1. In 3 days, the Los Angeles Italia Festival arrives, as it has for 14 years, at the Chinese Six Theaters in Hollywood.
Well done, Henry.
And it's all free.
Oh, my
and
God.
Henry's
so
on a boat
good.
Offshore.
We got our guest over here cracking up.
Shot out of a cannon.
Hey, what's happening with the blog there, man?
Well, I'll tell you, I've actually gotten back to doing it twice a month. So,
excellent.
It's current. It's doing current events instead of grand histories. As I was saying, there's starting this Sunday. There's a terrific event at the Chinese Theater. It's a week of Italian film premieres. It's all free, just first come, first served. Receded, and a particular interest to Western fans is Franco Nero, who is being honored, is going to be attending 3 of his film screenings on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. No wow. Westerns, what the heck? It's still Franco Nero.
Yeah, really?
Well, yeah. The man with no name.
Speaking of...
Oh, no, I am...
Great Euro Western star.
Nobody?
I'm sorry?
What was the name of his movie? I Am Nobody? Was that one of them?
My Name is Nobody.
My name is Nobody. Yeah.
Karen Hill.
Oh, that's Terrence Hill. Well, never mind
that.
Character
of Django, because no one can tell them apart.
Right. Okay.
But actually, Courtney Joyner and I just did audio commentary on a Blu-ray release of his Kioma, which should be coming out very soon. It's one of his very best films. And speaking of great Euro-Western stars, a couple of weeks ago, I attended an event called Film Italy Los Angeles. Waited 2 hours on the red carpet to talk to Claudia Cardinale.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Once upon a time in the West.
Boy, she was a hot one, wasn't she?
She was. And you know, for her 80s, she really looks very good.
Wow, really?
And just at the very moment that the red carpet guy says to her, "This is Henry Park from True West," Claudia's daughter grabs her by the wrist and says, "Mom, we just have time for a cigarette before the award." That was my interview.
Don't you hate that?
Oh, well.
You were so close, Henry.
So close. I got some really poor pictures of her.
Cool. But did you smell her perfume?
Better than none. No, I didn't smoke. That's the thing.
No, smell her perfume.
No one grabbed me by the wrist.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, you wish.
Oh, there's a couple of great screenings coming up at the Autry. Saturday at 1:30, they're showing the terrific Randall Scott, Bud Bedeker filmed A Tall Tea.
Love that movie.
Written by Bert Kennedy from the Elmore Leonard novel.
Mm-hmm.
And the following Saturday, the 23rd, they're showing from 59 the very weird atmospheric Western vampire noir, Curse of the Undead, starring Rawhide's Eric Fleming and the great Aussie Western actor Michael Pate.
Oh, my God. Eric Fleming.
Mm-hmm.
Rawhide.
I knew you'd be excited.
He's been dead a lot of years, too. 60, what did he die?
Oh, yeah,
Henry,
he
62? Sure. 63?
Something like that. I mean, the story was that he was, like, shooting something in South America and got eaten by piranhas.
No, I think he fell off the boat and drowned. I don't know.
I wasn't there. I have witnesses, and besides, I was like four.
So. You have witnesses that say you weren't there?
Oh. I have witnesses that say I was four.
Okay.
Okay. Bob Brill, you're there, right?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Outstanding. I did my True West interview
yes!
with Bob Terry about the Forsaken Western.
Fantastic.
And yes, and I got to tell you, in addition to being available on YouTube, Bob has brought out season one, all 29 episodes, in a 10-DVD set. I'm making my way through it now, and there's tons of great stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. I, you know, just watching some of the episodes on YouTube, it's just like, God, how much more does this guy have? And some of it's really, really, really bad, so you know why it was a pilot, and that was as far as it went, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah, and there are ones you say, my gosh, this was so good. Why didn't it go?
Yeah.
So it's very interesting stuff.
Well, there was one that had Chuck Connors playing, actually playing Tom Horn, and they gave him a different name, but his initials were still TH.
Oh, whatever.
Exactly. No, that's a real good one. I don't think that most of them are pilots. That I think was an episode of a anthology series.
Mm-hmm.
There's a terrific thing called El Coyote, which is like a female version of Zorro.
I did see that.
And
God, that's really
terrific.
Old. Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem with it turns out to be that it simply ran the same year that Disney started doing their Zorro series.
Yeah.
You can't really compete with them.
The young lady that played was an Olympic athlete, right?
I don't know.
That's right.
Yes.
An Olympic gymnast.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And she played the main character.
She was a Zorro-esque?
Right. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
God, I saw that years and years and years and years and years ago.
El Coyote.
Yeah, El Coyote. Hey, Henry, you know what I saw today?
What's that?
I saw the original pilot for Laredo that
really?
Aired on the Virginian, I believe, in 1965.
Wow.
Or four or five. With the three main characters and Captain Parmalee and Trampas.
Captain Parmalee.
Right. And how was it?
It was actually not too bad. It was not too bad. Of course.
Well, the Laredo series could be very good. It got awfully cute as time went on.
Yes, it did.
But it started very well.
Yeah, it did. It actually started pretty good. And the three characters really had a lot of chemistry.
Even on the first episode,
they had a lot of chemistry.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I've got some very good news that AMC will premiere season two of The Sun, the Pierce Brosnan Western series, on April 27th.
Excellent. Excellent.
But, yeah. However, there is the bad news follow-up is AMC's already announced that it's going to be the last season without waiting to see how the numbers are.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah. Was that Bronson's choice?
What I'm guessing is they had season two in the can for over a year. And Brosnan might very well not be available even if they wanted to go on. He's got four or five projects in pre-production right now, including a Rennie Harlan action picture and an adaptation of Hemingway's Across the River and Into the Trees.
Hmm.
So. Oh, INSP's Western reality series, The Cowboy Way, has been so successful. They're beginning a fifth season in the end of March. I think they started the fourth season the beginning of January. And if you haven't seen it, want to start at the beginning, which you really should, you can catch all the episodes on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, you can. I just actually caught an episode the other night when they were still in Texas. I've never seen it. It's the first time I'd ever seen it. And it was pretty good, actually.
And Henry,
it's a a really nice nuts and bolts sort of Western show.
Yeah.
I had two things. Eric Fleming dived out of a boat in Africa, and his body was recovered 3 days later.
Okay, so I was right.
Yes, 1965.
Okay, 65.
Yes, and Henry, you missed one thing. This Sunday, Sundown, which was my short film, is screening at LA Live for the Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival, and it screens at 1 o'clock, and... tickets are $15. If anybody wants to go, all you have to do is go to the website for the Hollywood Reel, that's EEL, Independent Film Festival. You can go there and buy tickets for any of the screenings that are happening all week long, but especially ours, which is Sundown, which is a 10-minute film, which airs at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, the 17th.
And I will say, Bob, having seen it, if you haven't seen this little short film, you really have to go see it because it's quite a kick.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So it was fun to make.
There's my one and only plug for you tonight.
All right. I'll give you your $5 later.
Worth every penny.
What else you got, Henry?
Well, then I don't need to tell you folks that the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival is coming April 13th and 14th.
No, you don't.
William S. Hart Park, featuring all our Western writer friends at the Buckaroo Bookshop.
Yep, I'll be there.
But for the first time, it's taking place the same weekend as the TCM Classic Film Festival in Hollywood.
Is it really?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, usually it takes place the same time as the Bank of Books LA Times Festival.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The book festival, yeah.
I guess they dodged that one and got hit by this one instead.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, you can't. It's so bizarre. There's so many things that are going on these days. I used to try to schedule events like that.
Yeah,
you know, like
you just can't.
Trade shows. Mm-hmm. And it's like, screw it. Just we'll do it when we're doing it. And if they show up, they show up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty much all you can do anymore.
Right. Please check out the new True West featuring my interview with the most frequent guest star in Gunsmoke, the villain Matt Dillon couldn't stop killing, Morgan Woodward.
Oh, my God.
Morgan Woodward. He was in 19 different episodes, played a different character, and got killed in every one by Matt Dillon.
My gosh. It's like Groundhog Day.
Yeah. Actually, one of those is a two-parter, and they killed him twice.
No way.
That's a lie. I'm sorry.
But it was a good one.
You had a twin?
Thank you. And you know what? You can read all about this and more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
No!
Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you next month. Be good. Stay out of trouble.
You too.
Okay.
Take care,
Henry. Bye-bye. So, hey, Bobby Jean, I told Rona today that I got my camera hooked up yesterday and I made a surprise phone call to Bobby Jean Bill.
Yeah. What did he say?
Nothing. He just
laughed.
Did he say,
are you going to use that tonight?
No, he didn't say
that. Hey, Jim.
It was fun. It was
fun.
It was fun. Yeah. And now I know I can do that. So I could never do that before.
Right.
So anyway, we have in the studio tonight a fun writer. He's been on. This is his second time here. His first visit was December 21st of 2017.
That sounds about right.
Yes, sir. Well, I actually looked it up. That's how I knew. But
you don't expect him to remember anything.
Before we said Richard was here and we sat and talked about World War One, and he and Richard spoke about being in newspaper business. And tonight we're not going to talk about World War One. We are going to talk about Zambia in Africa. Yeah, and it's an interesting book to say the least. The name of the book is The Sperm Farm. And the author is, of course, Mr. Jack Adler. Please welcome him to the Writer's Block.
Your audience loves you out there.
I love doing that.
I'm looking at them out there.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack, how are you?
Fine. How are you?
We're just rocking and rolling. You know how this show goes.
And yes.
You know, it's just whatever comes out of our mouth comes out of our mouth.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
Well, it's not regurgitated. It's fine.
Okay. Let's talk about this book because I finished it today, and I was not surprised by the ending, but I was actually surprised by the whole book, actually. I never figured, never once in my entire 69 years did I ever figure that there would be people kidnapping young women to go to a farm and have babies for ISIS.
Well,
and that's what the book is about. That's why it's called The Sperm Farm.
Yeah, my wife disagrees with the title. She thinks it's wrong, but I think it's a good. I think it's a good title because it's provocative.
It tells you what they're doing. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And you have your basic protagonist of Mr. Derry Green, who is a travel guy. He's the guy.
Well, he works for a worldwide tour operator. And when they have a problem with a tour anywhere in the world, he's sent out to deal with it.
Right, right. And he's quite a character. And it's, at the end, he gets the girl.
And it's a mixed occasion.
Yes, yeah. Well, he virtually, literally gets the girl.
Yes, yeah. He's afraid he's got more than he wanted.
Well, yeah. Well,
you could look at it as she gets the guy.
Well, you could.
That's another way, yes.
Because she's a pretty cool.
She is actually pretty cool. Yeah. She's a photojournalist.
Yes, and a very qualified.
Very
one.
Qualified yeah. And very intelligent, and of course, according to Jack and his writing, quite beautiful. So there you have it.
And they're both captured at this farm. Mm-hmm. And they're impressed into a case of sexual servitude, which is the heart of the novel.
Right.
Most people think of terrorism as something that's happening right today,
right.
And it is, bombings and such. This is a story about looking ahead and training people to be Islamic warriors of the future.
Right.
And that's why they kidnap young women on tours in Africa, bring them to this isolated farm, and force them to have sex and to get pregnant, have babies. The babies are then given to families throughout the world who are Islamic, who will bring up these young men to be Islamic warriors of the future in the future jihad.
Right.
That's the threat.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, Jack, when did you come up with this idea? How
did you come up with
it? It sounds like when did you learn that you were not sane?
No, I mean, as far as, did you actually come up with the idea before there was an ISIS and then ISIS became part of the story?
No.
Or you came up with it upon the inception?
No, it came up afterwards. The notion being, particularly after ISIS was losing its territory, and they were looking for other things to do. And that's when I imagined this plot. I think it's perfectly plausible, as strange as it sounds. But,
Well, I think there's some leanings of evidence to it, actually. And as far as I remember some news stories, there were similar things like that happening.
There's a sort of historical antecedent. The Ottomans, who mm-hmm. preceded the Turks, would kidnap young Christian boys, very young age, and bring them up as Muslims, and they were called Janissaries. And they were a special retinue that the Pasha or the Sultan used. And this is following in that footsteps.
Yeah. You know, I got the feeling, too, that one of the main characters of the bad guys, Michael, his thoughts were going towards repopulating, of course, because they're losing so many warriors in the Mideast that there's a definite need to repopulate.
Yeah. But he's thinking more of the future than
present. Yeah. Repopulate in the caliphate as they go towards the future. So actually, it's kind of a good plan, but didn't work. Oh well.
Well, they could always try again
if at first you don't succeed.
He's kind of a loose end at the end of the book. I wonder, do you plan to continue this as a series?
Well, the main character is already part of a series. He's been on other episodes, other countries.
Right.
No, I haven't planned to continue this because I think I'm afraid I'd be overdoing it.
Michael comes up with another hair.
I'd rather let this sink in.
Well, you didn't exactly end the book on a finality. So
well, he's captured, and
well, yeah, yeah. Well, Michael is,
and he was, well, yeah. He was the focal point right. of it all. If he's not around, yeah, someone else will come up, and you know, there's room for a sequel, but I just hadn't planned on doing one.
You know, we when we leave the book, we have Derry and Gail having wild sex on the couch in the living room. Hey, whatever works.
Well. What I tried to do is have the hero, Derry, be worried that his seed would wind up killing someone in mm-hmm. the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He'd be the father of someone that he'd rather not be the father of. That's why he had the dream on the airplane yeah. coming back from Zambia to New York.
Right, right.
I have to ask you about in the process of it. When I wrote El Cabo, Homegrown Terrorist, I had many different Muslim sects, Sunnis and Sufis and so forth. And one of the things I wanted to do so I didn't end up like Salman Rushdie was to make sure I checked with an imam and a few other scholars and stuff when I started, you know, laying some of the things out. Is that something that you did or you feared, or did you get any feedback at all or anything when it came to the Muslim?
No, that's an interesting question. I didn't do that with this book, but I've written another book which involved much more Muslim terrorism mm-hmm. of the current day. And I did ask questions of a local mm-hmm. Muslim authority in L.A. Mm-hmm. If I was on the right. Now, I wasn't doing anything silly,
right.
basically. But without, you know, telling them exact aspects of the plot.
Right.
Because to me, that's kind of censorship. You know,
right.
I wouldn't want to do that. But it's... That is a fear. Anytime you do anything involving that, you're going to be offending, and who knows that you'll be put on some list that you don't want to be put on.
Hmm. Yeah, that's always a problem. The question I have, and it kind of was rolling in my head the last couple of days, where did this story come from? Because it's, I don't know. I it's like I would never dreamed it, and I've dreamed some pretty rasty stories, but.
Neither of you have ever dreamed about sexual servitude?
No.
No.
Not that we would admit to.
Okay, Bobby Jean, you're also included in that question.
Yeah, I mean, for me, as a woman reading the story, once we get to the farm, it's pretty scary, bleak situation. And I hadn't really ever thought that such a situation could exist. You really paint that pretty clearly. And, you know, so you're a great writer in that
well,
that kept me awake at night, sort of having those concerns that, you know, we can just be out and about. Next thing we know, we're in a really dire situation.
Yeah. Well, kidnappings take place all the time.
Oh, absolutely.
Throughout the world.
Absolutely.
So the only difference is here is the it's not for ransom or necessarily political purposes of sense. It's for a human product.
Right.
And that's what makes it unusual, I think. But I think it's, you know, reasonably plausible, though it seems shocking. Hmm. I haven't gotten any a bad email or anything about
it. I actually read the reviews on Amazon for the book, and people like it. I didn't read a bad one, so you done something good, Jack.
Well, I'm glad. you know, sexual servitude isn't your best, you know, subject that you want to be known by.
No, it's not something you want to go to catechism and read about.
The other thing about it, too, is, you know, we look at modern-day wars. I mean, obviously, it happened in previous and even ancient wars. But we look at, like, in the Balkans War, mm-hmm. when rape was an officially sanctioned weapon of war mm-hmm. in Bosnia, Herzegovina, and Serbia. And in basically, that's sort of what you have here, too, is it can be considered rape because it's unwilling. And so you have that happening in more and more in modern day warfare, and I think you open up a whole Pandora's box moving forward. Do you?
Yeah, I think so too. One of the things that I wanted ironically to be there was that it was biracial. It wasn't whites copulating with whites necessarily. It was whites and blacks, but they would all be Muslims, and that was kind of universal. That's one of the things that I think people are not happy with Islam is the how universal it is, because it's the fastest growing religion in the world. More than any other religion.
Right, right.
And also, there's no separation between religion and politics. So
no, the religion is their politics. Yeah.
So the more Islamic babies there are, the more the world turns in the way that some people don't want it to turn.
Yeah. Well, that's why the Catholics never had birth control. You know, the bigger the family, the more money.
There you go.
It was simple economics. But Bob brought up a good point. I mean, in historical aspect of what you're talking about in your book, is that you know they did it back in the Ottoman days. They did it back Attila the Hun. The Romans used to do it. The American Indians tried it. They never got very far. The Nazis did a good job of it. They had breeding. They had breeding ranches.
Yeah,
and
they
farms.
Had breeding farms.
And the SS guys used to go there for their leaves, and that's where they'd stay.
But it was strictly white and white.
It was white and white, yes. It was Aryan to Aryan.
And the women had to be blonde and blue-eyed.
Yeah, well.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But, yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a couple commercials, and then we're going to be back to you, Jack, so don't go away. Of course, you're not going to go away. We got you strapped to your chair. Bobby Jean.
Well, actually, I don't have one. So well, you can just skip me this week.
I do.
I don't have one. You can skip me.
I don't have to skip you. I have it right here. And here we go. So, all righty. So, here it is. This is Out West Shop. This is the time of the year we reach for a warm, cozy blanket, a blanket that gets better with time. Out West is your source for Cadillac of Blankets, the Denali Collection. Softer and warmer than fleece. That sounds like a song title. Softer and warmer than fleece. These unique blankets are made from an innovative fabric called Microplush. Denali has patterns and designs for any home decor style. You provide the fire, the book, and your favorite hot beverage. Out West provides the blanket. Come over to Out West Shop to find the perfect cozy throw for your long winter nap. Use coupon code BLANKET and save $10 off your order of $75 or more. Or call toll-free, 877-340-9378. It's always a great day out west. How's that? Did I do good, Bob?
Hey, has anybody told you got a great voice radio?
Well, thank you, dear.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Now we're going to make Russ a happy guy. Imagine deep blue skies, majestic mountains and acres of lush green orange trees in a tranquil country-like setting. Sound like a perfect spot? It is for your dog. That's right. All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepover is the premium place for your four-legged friends to spend their time away from you. Whether you are going away for a one- or two-night getaway or an extended vacation, All Dogs Rule is the place your dog wants to be when they can't be with you. When your dog returns home, you'll have to ask whose vacation was better. Bob?
The dog.
So check out their website at alldogsrule.com or give them a call, 805-524-1100. Your dog will thank you. Russ and Karen will thank you. And I'll thank you. And Bobby Jean will thank you. And Bob Woof for you. And
yeah, well, you know,
so
dogs will thank you.
805-524-1100, alldogsrule.com.
Look at that tail wag.
Yeah. Okay, when Creative Edge Publicity was founded in 2016, they immediately showed they weren't the same as other publicity firms. They work closely with their individual clients' needs and goals and push harder to get them noticed. Creative Edge believes that communication is an important part of the partnership, and how that model is how they have built their success. They collaborate and work with local, national, and international media outlets and organizations to meet their clients' goals. Creative Edge, your brand and your future. So it's Mickey Mickelson, is his publicist. His website is creativeedgepublicity.com. Go check him out. Mickey's a great guy. He's my publicist, and by the time we leave here tonight, He'd be Jack's publicist.
And he's my publicist.
And he's actually Bob's publicist as well. So Creative Edge, they're great, great people. And we are back live in the studio, and it is 7:29, and we have Mr. Jack Adler with us, and of course Bob is here. Bobby Jean is on the line, and Jack.
Yes.
So you have written a lot of books. You have written, let's see, let's go through some of your titles here.
Oh, let's not be numerical.
No, we're not. Okay, you're of course, you're The Sperm Farm. Then you have Make Steady Money as a Travel Writer, Chinese Americans, Soulmates from the Pages of History, Splendid Seniors, City Havoc, Irish Spring, Hunger. I can't read my own writing. It's because I scribble. A Colleague in Shadows. The Montreal Tapes and Rage of Kali. And that's just that's almost all of them, but that's a few.
To keep me busy.
Apparently. And, of course, we went through, last time we went through the Montreal Tapes. And Colleague in Shadows. And a fun book to read. And, of course, now we've gone through The Sperm Farm. And you have – where did you get your ideas for your books? I mean, these are all, like, diverse. And these aren't – well, of course, you were a travel writer for a number of years.
Yeah. The Derry Green series come from books
– sure.
Places I've been. Not all the books have been about places I've been.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things in Zambia, like the hippo – Mother Hippo chase. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That happened to me.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. The elephants getting too close. That happened. The black mamba snake in the
mess hall or the bar, wherever it was.
These are actual incidents. But I wasn't chased by lions. That I made up.
Well, that's,
it was tigers. Thing. It wasn't lions. It was
tigers. No, not Zambia.
It would have been in the book.
Yeah. That's another story.
Yeah. So the ideas come from different, things you read.
Uh-huh.
I've gotten ideas from footnotes in books I've read.
Mm. There's a good place to go. I'd never even thought of that.
Well, I was a history major at college.
Yeah, so was I.
And I saved my textbooks. And I went through them. And I found footnotes that have led to two novels.
Wow.
I just explored the theme that was, in the footnote.
Yeah.
It was just like one or two lines. Yeah. But you never know where you're going to find something that
appeals to you. Yeah, I was basically the same. And I you just brought to mind, I have a textbook I picked up at a yard sale years ago. And the last president is Herbert Hoover. And it's just like there's these, you read the narration in these history books of what they taught then as compared to what we teach now.
Well, yeah.
You know, and it's like, wow, there's some really good stories there. Yeah. So I can understand where you're coming from.
Well, sure, because, history is always taught by the winners.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true.
So if you were to give a starting writer now any advice in the world, what would you give him
or her? Not be afraid to follow their inclination.
Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. You taking notes, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
You have two bottles.
Oh, yeah, it's right here.
You can probably hear me
talk. Bobby Jean, in case you didn't, Bobby Jean, since the last time we had her, or you were on with us, she has picked up another radio show, so now she does, three or four a week? Is it three?
Four.
Four radio shows a week.
Three on Thursdays and one on Saturdays.
Yeah, three on Thursdays, one on Saturdays. And she's a busy girl.
That is so.
And she still reads the book.
Get the book.
And if you Skype her in the morning,
in fact,
I've learned
this one by Sunday. Yeah.
Don't Skype her with a camera in the morning because she doesn't. She hasn't stepped near her makeup yet.
But I am dressed.
But you were dressed. But
and the wine and chocolate are there. So
and the wine and chocolate is always present.
Where is she based?
She's in New Mexico.
With it. Question for Jack.
Of course.
This is a little bit like process question, I guess, but I also don't want to do a spoiler alert. We get to a point in the book where I kind of felt like you could wrap it up. You got us where it seemed like we were coming to a kind of a finale was fairly dramatic. But next thing, Derry is writing a play, and we're in New York, and I was curious, like I kind of felt like we were done, but you obviously didn't feel we were done. And as you continue the story, I mean, it's very interesting, but I was curious what caused you to kind of keep telling that story.
Well, I felt that Derry was concerned about his own role, and when his flame came from Zambia, that made him continue his activities even more, because he wasn't alone anymore. She was with him. And as far as his nemesis, well, once he made his, he came out of the into the open, he had to do something. As far as the play goes, it's just that he wanted to do something that captured what happened to him, and is kind of an exorcism.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. So glad you asked.
Oh.
Here's the question that everybody always has on the top of their list for this show. Bobby Jean, take it away.
Well, we love to know what a writer does if he or she engages with a writer's block, or maybe you never get it. And what do you do if you do get it?
What do I do with writer's block?
I
try to ignore it.
Okay.
If you have something that you're working on to interest you, writer's block isn't going to occur. So if you don't have something, you have to come up with an idea, or read something, or watch something. Something has to ignite in your mind. Otherwise, the block goes on. But the block isn't that you can't write something, is that you have nothing to write about. So the first step is to find, a subject, a theme, or something that you can explore. And once you do that, there's no block. I think block is misunderstood. Block isn't stopping you from writing something if you're already involved. A block is when you don't have anything that you are happy to write about.
Yeah, I would go with that.
Yeah.
Bob?
One of the things that Jim mentioned was the fact that you're so diverse and so many different areas in your books. What's in the back of your mind that you're still trying to get out that you really want to tackle, you haven't had time to tackle yet?
Well, that's a tough question. The thing that keeps interesting me is what makes people do things that they realize that they shouldn't do, and to find a situation that's consequential, that interests everybody, which will probably be political, to use that to put that the human element within the larger fabric, and that I haven't been able to do.
Gotcha. You said still trying to tackle that one?
Well, again, like writer's block. I mean, you have to find something that you can do that's feasible.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an idea, but it's not feasible. So, I play around with different ideas all the time, but most of them I throw away because, I don't see any way I can really do it. But that's a theme I'd like to do. I just haven't found the circumstances that would surround it,
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah. I found that when I'm hung, especially if I'm in the middle of a really good chapter, like I was with chapter 17, and I came into a point in that chapter where I had a crossroads I had to take, and I sat there and I looked, okay, now do we go this way, or do I do it this way and piss a lot of people off? and Bobby Jean, you know which fork I always take.
Well, you usually take the one that gets a lot of people upset.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly the fork.
Yeah, she wasn't
going
to quote you. You know that.
and it's always there.
I don't think you have to think too long when you get to that point.
Well, but I did on this book, especially on my last book with Jefferson's Chance. It took me a while to make the turn onto the crossroad, because either way it would have been a good ending to the book. But it's finding that balance, I guess, that's going to work with the story.
I could have continued the story where she gives birth, and he does a gene test that it's not his.
It's not his kid.
Yeah, but yeah. How far do you want to go? You know, yeah. I didn't think it was worthwhile.
I don't know. I kind of like that idea. There's a thread there. 20 years from now, you know.
Yeah, it's a sequel. Well, yeah, 20 years ahead.
When he's on the
some
plane
kid
and
knocks
you,
on the door. In fact, he had the daydream.
And we see
that, hi, Dad.
Yeah.
That's when you should meet your kids anyway when they're 30.
I thought, oh my gosh, we're jumping ahead. That was pretty cool.
Well, yeah, I have to tell you that your book is it's a fascinating story, and it's hard to read in that it's really hard to grasp what is going on, that these people actually have this mindset that they actually are doing this, and that then you think back, well, wait a minute, they used to do it all the time,
yeah.
You know, but not to what I've heard in 50 years,
yeah. Well, you know, it's the basic premise of slavery.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and we have slavery all over this world still. You know, I mean, we don't just, you know, it didn't end with the Emancipation Proclamation.
No.
You know?
There's still sexual slavery. Yeah. Sex trafficking.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Sex traffickers, yeah.
Here in
and
Southern California.
Human traffickers.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, I mean, it's still, and the Arab countries are one of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
And the Croatia and those areas over there, yeah. They're still huge. And
watch any Liam Neeson movie.
Well, yeah, yeah, that brings that to mind, doesn't it?
He got in trouble.
Sorry, Liam, wherever you are. And you've been writing for how many years? Other than not travel writing, we're going to go with novels.
Oh, 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Approximately.
But you've been writing your whole life.
Well, I was a journalist.
Right.
You know, I wrote, I worked for a trade newspaper. I was a columnist for the L.A. Times, mm-hmm. Remember, on a freelance basis.
Right.
So, you know, you're a writer, you're a writer.
Right.
You know, it takes different forms,
right.
But you're still writing.
Right.
You're putting words together.
But above that, the greatest journalistic job in the world still is travel writing, correct?
Well, it's probably more fun. And, you know, I traveled to a lot of countries and had a lot of interesting experiences, some of which I was able to use in writing.
Yeah. Oh. Well, I mean, hence the title of his book, Make Steady Money as a Travel Writer.
There you go. You know, it was, I knew several travel writers when I worked with UPI, and guys would just make extra money just by writing for travel magazines. And, yeah, I got this junket to Rome this weekend, all expenses paid.
Did you know Murray Brown, by any chance?
Yeah.
I knew Murray.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, if you stay up late and listen to KNX 1070, it's him.
Oh.
Yeah, overnight.
Yeah, he does the overnight show. We're lucky to have him.
Well, Ed Cairns was another travel writer that I worked with, and Ken Robbins also did a lot of travel writing. Ran into Rick Steed one day in Rome, believe it or not,
wow.
Just a little place where we're having coffee or something like that. And
you know, the world. The older you get, the shorter, the smaller the world gets.
Yeah, it's true. Mm. It's true. I did interview Arthur.
Don't say Murray.
No. Europe on $5 a day, and I can't think of his name now. Arthur Froebel, yes, and he was the one that actually convinced me to really kick it off and go travel, and I did after that, and it was just like just great. I mean, back in the days, well, at the time it was like Europe on $25 a day when we were
interviews, so. And you didn't have to worry about being kidnapped or killed or blown up on a bus or a train or a plane, yeah. Mm. Now I think people
no sexual servitude,
no metal detectors.
Well, we don't know that. He wouldn't say.
He wouldn't say.
For another time.
And he's thinking. He's sitting there thinking. Well, wait a minute. You know, I used to do the same thing. What is the big deal here? Roma. Yeah, Bob's been around
a little bit. Yeah. Not as much as you.
I did all the military touring.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You shot people.
Well, not only that. I mean, I was on some FTXs in Europe, and I was in Thailand and Cambodia, and illegally, and Laos and Vietnam and Japan and Philippines.
That's another story I want to hear one day.
Which one?
The illegal part of Cambodia.
Oh, that's...
Hey, statute of limitations runs out at some point, right?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I bet. maybe someday over a beer.
Did you parachute in?
No. No. Hmm. Went in on a helicopter.
Oh.
Came out on the back of a M60 tank.
There's
and that's all he's going to say about that.
Short story shorter. My troop, the second, Troop B, 1st and 9th Cavalry, and Troop D, which was a mechanized troop, were all in the same place at the same time in 1970 when they did the Cambodian incursion. Mm. And we helicoptered in and met them at this area, at the Parrot's Peak in Cambodia. And coming out, everybody, we just caught a ride on the tanks. And so everybody was riding on tanks. I mean, you'd look at an M60 tank going down the road, it'd be like 50 guys on it.
Did you get any pictures?
Yes, but I couldn't tell you where they are. I don't know. I mean, I have to search because there's a lot of pictures I really want to find.
Mm.
But I have pictures of my dog, too. I had a dog.
There?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I always had a dog.
You didn't bring him back.
Did you ride
her? I tried to, but I had to put her down because the colonel said that she was giving everybody rabies, which was BS.
Oh. Did you write about your Cambodian?
No. No. I've only written one small thing about my experiences in Vietnam, and that was at the end of my book, Jonah Blue. And it was a short story. It was a story of my very last mission in 1970 before I derosed and went to Japan. So it was my very last one before I left country. It was an interesting story.
Oh.
It's Ashaw Valley. Rock and roll.
Oh, you must have gotten a lot of material.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I got 2.5 years worth of material. I'm just not too sure I want to write about it. Anyway, we're talking about you now.
Okay.
So now that I've taken up your whole, I'm going to have you back. Hmm. So write another book.
Well.
What's next?
What's next? I have a book coming out about an American journalist being sent to Romania in 1902 to investigate pogroms.
Okay.
And this is a novel that came about because I read a footnote in my history book.
It does work.
Yeah. World history.
President Teddy Roosevelt was concerned that the Democrats might lose an election in New York City because the Jewish population was unhappy that the administration wasn't doing anything about the pogroms in Russia and Romania. So he had been police commissioner of New York City long before he became president, and he knew he was very popular with the press, and he knew this journalist who had interviewed him, so he retained him to go to Romania to look into what was going on there. And that's the novel. And I just made it all up from that point of what happened. What happened is that it's coming out later this year, is that he got involved with a Romanian Jewess, and they took him to a village so he could see the real thing instead of what the Romanian authorities were bringing him, you know, in their prearranged agenda. And there was an incident where the Romanians attacked somebody, and he got involved, and he was accused of he actually killed the man who attacked one of the friend of the Jewess he was with. Anyhow, he didn't feel he could explain himself, so they became fugitives. And the story is about how they escaped the authorities, and eventually they don't escape the authorities. So the novel is divided in three parts: A, what happens in the U.S. that led to it, then what happens in Romania, and then the third part is that he is manages to get across the border into Hungary, and he's repatriated to the U.S., and what happens then, and it's called The Tides of Faith, because it shows the shifting amount. Mm-hmm. He's not Jewish at all, but he gets involved with, and they have very exciting adventures in Romania trying to escape the authorities.
Sounds like a book in three acts, right?
The tides of faith.
Yeah, and that, but it all came about from a footnote in a book, in a history book.
There you go. Yeah. We are out of time. Jack's book is Sperm Farm. It's his newest one. It's available on Amazon and all the online booksellers. And it's published by Argus. Is that correct?
By Sunbury Press, I think.
Okay. Sunbury Press. The book, again, is Sperm Farm. And it's Jack Adler. Jack, can you tell our listeners where they can get a hold of you?
Website?
Website or email?
Oh, email. jadlerprodigynet.
Okay. And website?
No, I don't have a website.
Okay.
Did you just say prodigy.net?
He did.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. There's two of us.
Yeah, he's the other one.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
That's where they're making all their money off of you two guys.
I used to be the board leader for travel on Prodigy. For the last 10 years of its existence.
It's funny because I actually used to pay for that. But back in the days when you couldn't switch, you know, and I didn't want to give up my my email, you know, because I had all these people that knew me of that.
Right.
And it was like, okay. It's, every time I run into somebody, somebody who's under 50, who is, you know, has, they say, what's Prodigy? And I think, yeah. Okay. That's, move on.
Yeah.
Maybe,
anyway.
Maybe that's what you remember me from.
Could be.
It could be. So anyway, thanks for coming in and joining
Thank
us,
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you. Next week, we have Carol Graham Piera. Her book is Helder's Story. And Jerry has sent it out to you guys today. I'm sure you've gotten it. And it's going to be an interesting read, to say the least. It's surviving cancer, I believe.
Ooh.
And next week is, I don't even know, or next week and the week after, I have no idea. I do know that on the 26th, we have another special Tuesday night, which is Tom Lang will be joining us here in the studio, the writer of his Lost Evidence, I believe is the name of his book, about O.J., and then another one about the Wonderland murders.
Oh, right, Tom Lang. Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
He was the lead detective. Great guy. And so he's going to be coming in and joining us, he and his wife, Linda. And other than that, Bobby Jean, you got the Cowboy Festival coming up.
Yes, we do.
And Bobby, you do.
Buckaroo Bookshop, April 13th and 14th. Yep.
There you go. We have Junie Fisher, another Tuesday night special on the 9th of April.
Looking forward to that.
And yes, and you'll be in studio for then. And then
I will.
The Thursday night as well.
Yes,
and
I will.
Sundown this Sunday. Go to the Hollywood
Sundown
Reel.
This Sunday?
Hollywood Reel Independent Film Festival website and buy your tickets.
And I'm going to do a shameless self promotion.
Uh-huh.
Jefferson's Chance is out.
You got it.
It's available on ebook and in hardback. And please, 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 I need dog food. So I need sales. Okay, there we go. Jack, again, thank you for joining
us.
And of course, for myself, Bob Brill, Bobby Jean Bell, and the Writer's Block, we are out of here. Ooh.